People matter. It's a simple truth, but one we don't live out enough. People matter to God and therefore should matter to us. Welcome to The Compass, a podcast ministry of Calvary Baptist Church of Fayetteville, Arkansas. I'm Dan Carson, pastor of Family Ministries here at Calvary. We're thrilled that you've chosen to find us online. Now, as you listen, you may have questions about the Word or about our ministry here in Fayetteville. Let me encourage you to send those questions to info@calvaryfayetteville.com, and a member of our team will get back with you as quick as we can. Now, in today's podcast, I have the privilege of sharing a message entitled People Matter to God from Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and 1 John 4, 7 through 21. Let's listen together.
I think one of the things that I love about worship is it's a change in mind that happens during the course of a worship service. When we entered this place this morning, to me, there felt, I don't want to say a spirit of oppression, nothing that extreme, but I know that we as Razorback fans are a little bit down. And that taints our mindset. We look and we think, oh no, we've lost a game. But you know, as we went further in the worship service today, I could feel that sort of mindset just kind of fading away. Because we know at the end of the day, a Razorback baseball game is exactly that. It's a game. And as we focused our hearts and minds on a God who loves us, on a God who cares about us, all glory belongs to Christ. Oh, that excites me. And I want to say thank you to David and our praise team for leading us in worship today and each Sunday. They help focus our hearts and minds on things that we need to be focused on. Because too many times we enter these times carrying a whole backpack full of other things with us. Whether it's the cares and concerns of this world, whether it's the fun things that we're involved with, the important things that we're involved with, all of those things, and while they may be a big part of our life, there's nothing quite as great and quite as glorious as Jesus Christ. And for that, we want to thank God for how He works in our hearts and lives. Well, this morning, we are going to continue our series on the church. For the past several weeks and months, Pastor Kirk has been leading us through a series entitled, I Will Build My Church. As we've taken time to think about the church, we've looked at a lot of different aspects of it. What we need to be as church members, what our responsibilities are, where we need to focus, and what we need to do. Pastor Kirk spent 5 weeks talking about the best family in the whole world, and we understand that that's our faith family because we're connected through Jesus Christ. That's more important than any other blood that we have in us. It's that blood of our Savior that binds us together and connects us. Well, the week after that, 2 weeks ago, he talked about having a mindset towards eternity, thinking, living a life with eternity in mind. And I love the illustration that he used, and I even pulled the rope out last week. I just wanted to describe it again. He pulled out this big, long, white rope, and he kept pulling it out. And I don't know how much rope, how actual footage he had, but on one end, and about 3 inches of length, was covered in red tape. And he said, in that little red tape, that's in our entire life, and the rest of it is our life in eternity. And I love that. Because there's so many times that we get focused in on the things of failure, the things that we've messed up on. But in God's time, it's just a little blip. But what he shared was real important. It focused us, as we talked about something last week, and we're going to talk about something this week. Said, what are those two things that are eternal that are on this planet? What are those things that we need to invest in? He said two things. One was the Word of God. The Word of God is everlasting, it's eternal, it's unerring, it is all those things that we need. And last week we talked about how it is powerful. It is a powerful thing in our lives. It is the transforming power of God's Word, as we mentioned in our core values, which we're going to go back to today as well. Well, this morning I want us to look at that other thing that Kirk said was important. He talked about The other thing that had eternal value, that was eternal, is the souls of men and women. Now, you may think, well, if someone dies without Jesus, then they're gone. Well, it's still an eternity. It's an eternity separated from God. It's an eternity in hell. And so we need to understand, on this planet, there are two things that we need to invest in, the eternal Word of God and the eternal souls of men and women. And it is vital that we spend time thinking about those things. And that's the reason that we're going to spend some time talking about this important concept, that people matter to God. As we look in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and 1 John 4, 7 through 21, we're going to see some things that are going to point us to how we're supposed to respond, what we're supposed to do as believers and as members of our church. But we're going to take a moment or two and to go back and talk about our core values. Last week we jumped on those, and if you're wondering where I'm coming up with these core values, then I encourage you to spend some time and to go to our website. It's calvaryfayetteville.com, and all you have to do is look under there on the About Us, and you can find our core values, and it describes these eight things that are important to us as a church. We believe that these eight things are at the heart of who we are, and if we believe these, if we make these a part of who we are, then that's going to be fleshed out in how we operate. Now, this is not our doctrinal statement. Our doctrinal statement lists those things that we believe about God's Word, about theology, and we spend time there. Our core values shape what we do and how we do ministry and how we impact this world. So let's just take a moment or two to think about those things, these core values, and we'll see why we're doing that in just a moment. The first of our core values is the transforming power of God's Word. On our website, it says that we believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and through faithful teaching and accurate application, it has the power to transform lives forever. In all things, we seek to find the balance of being Bible-based while culturally relevant. Last week, we talked about this one pretty extensively. We talked about the powerful Word of God. We know that that's where we need to start, and that's the reason that it is the first of our core values. It shapes what we do. It's why we have Bible study on Sunday mornings. It's why Bible study is such a huge component of our life groups. It is why we have things like Faithful Men and Faithful Women and Loving Hearts. We spend time studying and knowing God's Word because we know how powerful it is. Now, the second of the core values is meaningful membership. Pastor Kirk has spent a lot of time on this over the past weeks and months as he's talked about what we need to be doing as church members, that our membership is meaningful. It's not like us joining a club or a country club or anything like that. You see, I'm a part of a couple of organizations, Marathon Maniacs and Half Fanatics. Those mean, Marathon Maniacs means that you have run two marathons within 14 days of each other, or three in 90 days, and Half Fanatics is the same thing, it's just half, it's not the 26.2. I pay my dues, and when I do that, I look and think, what benefits do I get out of that? One of the things that I get is a discount on runningwarehouse.com. That is a benefit of my membership. Well, when we are members of a church, we're not signing up so that we get benefits. We are signing up to serve. We're signing up. We're joining. We're becoming a part to put ourselves under the authority of other believers, to be held accountable, to learn, to serve together. It is so much more than just what do we get out of it. It is a higher standard, meaningful membership. The third, and we're just going to briefly touch on this because we're going to come back to it, third of our core values is that people matter. And we're going to spend time there today, so let's go ahead and we're going to go on to number four. Our fourth core value is a philosophy of grace. And I want to read this because I think this is real important as we deal with people. We believe grace is the only basis for our acceptance with Christ, and the Christians should demonstrate a spirit of grace towards one another in the world. Rather than motivating people through guilt, we will seek to encourage them through an attitude of love and gratefulness to God. God has extended His grace to us, and because of that, we extend grace to others. It is this powerful circle that we need to be involved in. Number five, we want to be involved in growing true disciples. We believe spiritual maturity and Christ-likeness is God's goal for all of His children and should be our goal too. Again, the reason that we have our Sunday school hour, the reason that we meet together with faithful men and faithful women is we are building, trying to grow true disciples of Christ. Number six, our sixth core value is that every member is a minister. Now, I could hang out here for a while. Pastor Kirk has talked about this as well. We don't just come to church just to see what's going on. We don't come to church just to be here and to sit and soak, as some might say. Every one of us who have committed to be a part of Calvary Baptist Church should have a ministry of some sort. I don't know what that ministry is. It might be cleaning something around the church building. It might be checking on people, and you think, well, I can't get out. I can't do much. Do you have a phone? You have the ability to write letters. You have so many ways that we could impact people's lives, and you just need to find that place. And how are you serving? What are you doing to benefit the ministry of the body of Christ here? And so let me encourage you that if you are struggling to figure out how you can serve, find me. Find Pastor Kirk. We'll talk together. We'll work through that. We'll look at our gifts and talents and see where God would have you serve. The seventh core value is servant leadership. We believe Jesus' example of leading by serving is a pattern of all true spiritual leadership. Our goal is to develop leaders who are not focused on who they are, on who you are, or what you know, but how you serve. And then the last one is true community. We believe that genuine fellowship, Christian community, and biblical accountability can only be experienced in a small group environment. Therefore, we will provide a variety of opportunities for people to connect on a deeper level and fulfill that one another commandments that we find in the New Testament. That's why we have life groups. That's why we have Sunday school groups. That's why we have things like Loving Hearts. We believe that God is calling us to work together, to serve together, to, as they say, live life together. That's kind of a strange statement. If you say it out in the world, that's kind of strange. But it is. We want to live our lives together, intertwined with one another, loving on one another. Those are the eight core values of who we are as a church. But what I want us to understand is that number three is where we're going to hang out today. Why? Because we're investing in the only other thing that is eternal on this planet, the souls of men and women. Living in light of eternity means that we're going to invest in God's Word and that we're going to invest in people. Let's look back at core value number three. I want to read what we have on our website. It says, we believe that lost people matter to God and therefore ought to matter to the church. We make it our goal to develop meaningful friendships with our neighbors and others in our circle of influence so that we might earn the opportunity of sharing Christ with them. It is so important that we understand that people matter. That as we go to Walmart, as we go to Harps, as we go to our workplace, as we're at school, and as we look around and we see people of all different races and economic places and all different types of people, that every single one of those people matter to God. You may think, well, they don't matter to me, or they're mean, or they're cruel, or they're all of these other things, but we need to understand that people matter. Steve Goodyear says, who doesn't want to know that we notice them and value them? And who might respond to you better than feel that they matter? It probably cannot be overstated. It matters that people matter. People matter to God. And we need to know that. We need to embrace it. Why do we believe that people matter? Because they matter to God. And how do we know that people matter to God? I want to spend time. I want to show you five things. And then we're going to look at how do we show people that matter. And then we'll be done. And so the first is this. How do we know that people matter to God? Well, He created us. That may seem obvious, but think about that. If we look to Genesis 1 and we look through there, we understand that God created this big, wide world for us, and He created a special place for us. And then in chapter 2, we see the creation of man and woman in a very specific way beginning in chapter 4. It is important for us to understand that God created us. He created you, He created me, and because of that, we're valuable. We are important. We are important to God. The great thing about God is that that creation, while it happened, he set things in motion, he's not a hands-off God. If we look in Psalm 139, verse 13, we understand that God is still involved in the lives of people, and that people still matter to God. It wasn't like he just set this engine in motion and stepped away from it. 139, verse 13, the psalmist writes in response to God, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of earth. Your eyes saw me, my unformed substance, and your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them." It's important for us to understand that God created this great big world for us, that he created humans, men and women. And because of that, we can understand that people matter to God, that he's still involved in creating men and women. That you, your collection, your hair color, your personality, your talents, all of those things God put together for a purpose and a plan, and he was involved in that creation. How do we know that people matter to God? Because he created us. The second reason that we know that people matter to God is this, that he has pursued a relationship with us. Now, we've studied the book of Genesis off and on for this past year or so. Pastor Kirk has been showing us not only in the beginning with the days of creation, but he went through and showed how God was using a family to bless the world. All along, from the very beginning, he has pursued a relationship with us. He is the one who calls to us and says, "Come, connect with me." We've seen that God has set up things so that he would be glorified as we have turned to him. How do we know that people matter to God? Because God has been pursuing us. He has been pursuing people all along. He wants us to have a relationship with us. He wants to have a relationship with you. And today, God may be calling you into that type of relationship. You may not have ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you need to understand, God is pursuing that relationship, and because of that, we know, we can understand that people matter to God. We have a great deal of people that come on our campus throughout the course of the week. I don't know if you're aware of all of the folks that are involved, and it's actually incredible to see. Even during the summer, we have groups from Potter's House coming in over here. We're going to have groups from Camp War Eagle on our campus, people that come through, and every single one of those people matter to God. As we go from our church parking lot, we look this direction, that direction, over behind us, over to the side, and spreading out, every single one of those people matter to God. We need to embrace that. We need to be excited about that. And we need to connect with him, figure out how we can be involved. The third reason that we know that people matter to God is that he sent his son for us. John 3, 16 through 18, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." God loved us enough. He cared about us enough. We matter enough to him that he sent his son into the world to be born of a virgin, to live a perfect, sinless life, then to die and then overcome the grave for us. That's how we know that people matter to God. He created us. He pursues a relationship with us. He sent his son for us. And then, as we talked about last week in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, there the Bible says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." How do we know that people matter to God? Because he wrote us a book. I love that statement. I love knowing that God wrote a book so that we can understand Him, so that we could glorify Him, so that we can honor Him, so that we could have a relationship with Him. I love to know that God wrote a book. Now, do I know exactly how that transpired and how that worked, meaning as God inspired holy men of God and as they wrote those things down, what that looked like? No, I don't. But I have faith. Those words, especially as it's recorded here in 2 Timothy and we find in Peter, that this understanding that all Scripture is inspired by God. It is literally breathed out by God. And there's what it's for. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God holds enough value in us. We matter enough to God that He wrote us a book. The fifth thing, how do we know that people matter to God, is that He continues to use us for His work. And we're going to spend a little bit more time with this passage in just a moment. But in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, we understand that as we're going into the world, we're supposed to make disciples. Now God, in His infinite wisdom and power, could have chosen any way for that message to get across to the world. But God chooses to use you and me to share Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. Now, I'm not going to ask how many people you witnessed to this last week, because it's a hard question, isn't it? How many of us have shared the message of Jesus Christ? But we need to understand people matter to God, and He continues to use us for His work, to reach out and to be His hands and feet and His voice here on this planet. God is calling us to that type of work. He continues to use us for His work. And all of those things, we know that people matter to God. It's the reason it's one of our core values. Now, in our core value, in the description, it talks specifically about lost people, but we need to understand that we are a part of that people matter. How do we know that people matter to God? He created us. He's pursued and pursuing a relationship with us. He sent His Son for us. God wrote us a book. He continues to use us for His work. It's an incredible thing to know that people matter to God. I think about the students that I've worked with over the years. They're all sorts of students, all over the spectrum. Some are come in very confident, arrogant, and you need to give them a little smack and say, it's calm down. And then you have others that are just so sad and so disconnected and don't see any value in who they are. This is the message that we need to share with them. They matter. They matter to us, and they matter to God. And there are people I know that you're connected with that are struggling with this type of thing. Do they have any significance, or are they of any value to anyone in this world? We need to understand that we are valuable to God, that we matter to God. And we need to share that message with others. So how do we know that people matter to God? We've talked about that. Let's look at this second thing. How do we show people that they matter to God? It's one thing for us to know that people matter. But how do we let them know? How do we show them that they matter to God? Well, there's several things that we could look at, but I definitely want us to spend time in a couple of passages. It's the ones that I announced earlier. The first one is in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. There the Bible says this, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" It is so important for us to understand that if we want to show people that they matter, then we must join Jesus on mission. There are three things here. Being on mission with Jesus is very simple. We've got to show up, we've got to serve, and we've got to share. What I mean by show up? Well, Part of that is simply being here, joining with God's people so that you can learn, so that you can serve here in this place at this time, so that you can grow in your faith, you can be held accountable, so that you can be that person for someone else. We need to show up. If we're going to join Jesus on mission, we can't do that by sitting in our house watching Netflix. Maybe the most comfortable thing to do, but it's not what God is calling us to do. The scripture here says, go, or as you are going out into the world. And so we need to understand that it starts by showing up. The second thing is that we want to serve. We need to serve. Again, going back to what we talked about, that every member is a minister. Every member is a servant. God is calling us all to serve, and that begins with service here in the church. And there are places and there are ways that we have some deficiencies, some things that I need people, that we need people to step up and say, I'm ready to serve in this role and that role. Perhaps God is speaking to your heart and saying, okay, I'm ready to take that next step. What is it? Come and talk with me, and I'll share it with you. But we have to go into this with this attitude of yes, so that we can be a part of this great commission. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, we know as the Great Commission. It is that point, that description of who we are to be and what we are to do as a church. And then finally, if we're joining Jesus on mission, we must share Jesus Christ with people. It is not enough for us just to live our lives in front of them. At some point along the way, we have to tell them about Jesus Christ. I have a handful of friends that Fayetteville Martial Arts, where I've been working out with some guys. I love these guys. They're good-hearted guys. It's so funny because when they're in class, they know, here are the boundaries. Language is within this boundary. How they respond to things, it's within this boundary. It's because they know that they're an example in front of others. But when class isn't in session, those boundaries kind of fall down. And so as I'm helping some guys move some stuff earlier this week, I could tell just the little things that would just pop out. They would just pop out. And it's one thing for me not to participate in that language. It's one thing for me to always be kind and everything else. But if I never get to a point and if I don't tell them the truth about Jesus Christ, then I've missed the mark. At some point, I have to stand up and say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what he can do for your life. It's much more powerful than a sidekick. It's much stronger than any push-up you'll do. It is all of these things and ways that God can change your life. It all happens with Jesus. So we must tell others about Jesus Christ. We must embrace the Great Commission. So if you've never heard that term or thought, well, I've always heard of the Great Commission, what is it? Let me encourage you. We talked about memorizing scripture last week and think, well, I can't do that. Let me encourage you. Look in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Memorize that passage and know that that's the Great Commission, that this is the mission that God has given us individually, and then he's given us corporately. As a body of believers, God has given us that job to do here in this neighborhood, in our neighborhoods where we live, and beyond. So how do we show people that they matter? Well, we join Jesus on mission. We sign up and we say, all right, Jesus, wherever you send me, I'm going to go there. The second is this, that we modify our methods. Now, what do I mean? What I mean is this. It's found in 1 Corinthians 9:22. I think it is vital that we understand that sometimes, if we're going to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we're going to show people that they matter, then we must be willing to change the way we do things, change our methods. And I want to make it very clear, I'm not talking about changing our message at all. The message of Jesus Christ is strong and powerful and mighty. Knowing that Jesus Christ lived a perfect, sinless life, that he died on a cross, that he rose again, though that message does not change in one bit, the understanding that we're all sinners in need of a Savior, that message doesn't change one bit. But if I am going to reach people and show them that they matter to God and show them the message of Jesus Christ, I may have to change how I do things. If I look in First Corinthians 9:22, there the Bible says, to the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Now, I want you to think about where Calvary Church is today as to where it was 10 years ago. There's been some ups and downs. Those of you who have been here for a while, you know that. But I also want to think about how even the methods and the things here at this church have changed over these past several years. Used to, Sunday nights were a part of the program of this church. Now we have life groups, and once a month we have a prayer meeting. That is a change in methods. It is not unheard of for us to change our methods. And I'm not saying that we need to change anything specifically now. But what I am saying is that if we want to show people that they matter to God, we must be willing to modify our methods. We must be willing to step out in faith and saying, okay, this is outside of my comfort zone, but guess what? If it's going to show somebody Jesus Christ, then I'm willing to do that. We boldly carry that message, the message that we know that God's Word says, but we have to be willing to change our methods if necessary. There's a couple examples. Two weeks ago, David Cook and his life group met out here on the front lawn for their life group. I think, well, it's not that big a change, but it kind of is. In our life groups, we're used to having life groups in a classroom here at the church or in somebody's living room or perhaps in a restaurant. That's just kind of how we operate. But the cool thing was that they wanted to reach out and to show the neighborhood that there's some life here at the church, that there are things going on here at the church. And I was excited by their desire to step outside of their normal method, do something a little bit different, and to reach out. That's exciting stuff. We've got to be willing to have that same mindset with our life group or with our Sunday school group or with anything here at the church. Now, I want you to be very clear. I believe that God calls us to worship together on Sunday mornings. And I believe that it is important for us as we gather together on the first day of the week to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and to come together and study. I don't think that will ever change. I don't want that to ever change because that's important. We come together for that. But all the other things are kind of up in the air. Why? If it's going to help us reach people, if it's going to help us embrace verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 9, I do it all for the sake of the gospel that I may share with them in its blessings. We want to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are two things that I would like for you to pray about. I've made mention of it before. One, our life group is we're talking about a way that we can reach out to our community and help with some of the food situation here. Not a food bank, but simply breakfasts on Saturday morning for kids. And it's something that we're still trying to work out all the details on because that's kind of hard and it's kind of difficult to get everything in place. But you be praying for my life group as we look through that, and we'll be sharing information about how you could get involved with that. And then something else that's going to be coming this fall, unless God puts a big roadblock up, I've been praying about this, and we're going to start a taekwondo club here on our campus. I think, well, taekwondo, that's not very spiritual. It can be. For 3 years at Temple Baptist Church in Rogers, I had a taekwondo club. One of the things that we do, besides just the benefits that you get from working out, gaining confidence and strength and fitness and self-control, I have mat talks. I build relationships with students. They have to learn memory verses. It's something that's kind of outside of the box, but it's a way for us to reach out to our neighborhoods and to have it at low cost, no cost sort of thing, situation. And so I just want to ask you to pray for us. And I want you to pray for your group and pray for others here in the church. That how can we change our methods? What can we do? And think about how we're going to reach out and show people that they matter to God. It's hard because I'll tell you, I like things to stay the same. I may be your typical man. I'm stereotypical in that sense. If I find a pair of shoes, I want to have those shoes and forever. I mean, if I wear them out, then I want to go buy that exact same pair. And it kills me when I look at running shoes and they improve the shoes every 2 years and I can't go back and find the same shoes when I go to the store to buy another pair. Comfort is something we all like. We like to be comfortable. But God is calling us to be something different. He's calling us to possibly modify our methods so that we show people that they matter to God. The third thing is that we need to love the mess. Now, what do I mean here? When I was studying for our message this morning, I spent a lot of time trying to think, okay, we need to love the church, but I already have joining Jesus on mission, and I talked about we need to modify our methods. What's an M word that'll fit this? And so I looked up group and looked at a thesaurus, and all of a sudden I came across mess, and I thought, what a perfect description of a church. Think about it. We're a bunch of broken people. We're a bunch of sinners that are simply saved by grace. And at times, it is a bit of a mess as we have different personalities, different things that are getting our way of having a relationship, but we focus around the one thing that is unchanging, that is all-powerful, and that is Jesus Christ. You see, there is so much power in that example. The church that honors one another is a group of people that defy what most people see in the world. You see, we come from different families, different backgrounds, different places in life. The world sees unity and love as an impossibility in a group so different. However, Jesus binds us all together. He gives us the power and the strength to be unified, to love one another, to care for one another. And in those moments of being that example of loving the mess of the church, to loving the church, we show people that they matter to God. 1 John 4, verses 7 through 21, the Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not know God, because God is love, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. And in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he is in us because he has given us of this his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he is in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is also, are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother." You know, we could spend a lot of time on this passage of Scripture, and we just don't have time for that this morning. The simple truth is this. What do we find here? We find God saying that if we say we're believers, then we need to love one another. That means we need to care for one another. And when we do that, when we show that not only as God's commandment, we see that as an example to a lost and dying world. And they can see that people matter to God. You know, people come into our services all the time. People come onto our campus all the time. It is vital that those people see us loving one another, caring for one another, showing that expression, because in those moments they understand that people matter to God. Romans 12:10, the Bible gives us this exhortation, love one another with brotherly love, outdo one another in showing honor. One of the things that, a little book that I read when I was getting ready to be married was called Love is a Decision. And it's written by Gary Smalley and gave me this one concept that I've tried to hang on to throughout my life, married life, as well as just living, is that love is going to fade, those feelings. As I care about people, there are going to be moments that I'm going to feel in love with my wife, and there are moments I'm not going to feel in love with my wife. But love is a decision. It means that I'm going to decide to honor her in everything that I do. And that's what we need to do for one another. We may not feel in love with those around us. We may, in fact, have problems with the person that's sitting even close to us right now. But you know what? We can choose to honor them, to show them that they are worthy in God's eyes. And when we do that, when we do those things, the world sees that people matter to God. Thomas Merton says this, our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether or not they are worthy. God calls us to love on the people around us here in this place, but he calls us to love on the people who come on a campus with a handout, who come onto our campus with other groups that are in this neighborhood, that are in our neighborhoods. God calls us to love on all of those people. He calls us to love on those people that cut us off in traffic, that are a pain in our behinds when we're out in the world. God calls us to express his love because people matter to God. And if they matter to him, they should matter to us. And if they matter to us, then we're going to tell them the most important thing that they could ever hear, that they could ever know, and that's that Jesus saves. It's a short message. Jesus saves, two words. But that is how the world has changed. When men and women come to an understanding that Jesus Christ can save them from their sins. This morning, I struggled and went back and forth whether to talk about it. But this, if you are on social media at all, or you turn on any sort of TV and see an advertisement, you know what month this is. This is Pride Month. We see rainbows and flags everywhere. And here in Fayetteville, I believe just yesterday was the Pride Parade. Guess what? God calls us to love those people. And if there's any hope of them ever understanding that they matter to God, it starts by us expressing love to them. And that's hard. It's difficult. When we disagree, when we don't believe in something that someone is doing, how do we show them love and not justify or say it's okay for what they're doing? But God calls us to love. And in that love, we can change the world. We need to understand that people matter to God. And so they need to matter to us. Why? Because on this planet, there are two things of eternal value. God's word and the souls of men and women. They're going to last for eternity. When my life began, June 28th, 1972... here on this planet is just the beginning of eternity for me. The next, whether I even live to 60, 70, 100 years, that's all a blip as I look at eternity. I want to live, I want to think in terms of that. And I encourage you and challenge you to do that as well. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for how you work in our lives. I thank you so much for how you you impact us. You gave us Jesus. And somewhere along the way, Father, I realized that I mattered to you. And so, God, I ask that you work in the hearts of those here this morning. If they don't get that, if they don't understand that, that you help it make it very clear. But, Father, I ask that you give us the courage that we need, the strength that we need, so that we can reach out to those around us, so that we'll be willing to do the hard things, to break out of our comfort zone, to express to love to a lost and dying world, so that they know that you matter. And so we ask for your help, God. Bless us as a church. Give us focus. Give us courage. Give us strength. Help us to be what you need us to be here in this neighborhood and beyond. Father, forgive us where we fail you. In Christ and we pray. Amen.
Our heart's desire is that you grow and understand the direction God has for you in your life. We hope that by listening today, you are one step closer to discovering that for yourself. If you live in Northwest Arkansas and are looking for a church to call your own, we invite you to join us at Calvary as we study and serve together. We meet for worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings at 1410 North Porter Road of Fayetteville. If you wish to find out more information about Calvary Church or simply contact us, you can do that through our Facebook page or at calvaryfayetteville.com. Until next time, remember that God, His Word, and His people can provide direction for life.